Hopefully the weather will stay like this and we can meet in the back and maybe the whole neighborhood can hear you sing and praise the Lord. But that would be wonderful. If you can't come up with a new one by tonight, you can sing what you sang this morning. But certainly a great encouragement to our hearts. The Bible says that we sing to one another as well as we sing unto the Lord. It says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. But we admonish one another as we sing and encourage one another. And we thank you for that encouragement to trust that the Lord is an unchanging Savior and assurance to our souls. To return together to Matthew chapter 2 this morning. Matthew chapter 2, yes, in a sense, it's Christmas in July. We don't have to wait until December to sing about the incarnation of Christ or to consider truth from Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1. Why should we allow tradition, as it were, to monopolize these doctrines at certain times of the year? Oh, they are special to us at those times. But in our series on miracles, God's mighty acts, we come now to this special miracle revealed in chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel. We considered at least three of the miracles regarding the actual incarnation of the Son of God: Christ's virgin birth, His immaculate conception. Yes, it was Jesus that was immaculately conceived. The immaculate conception is of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Mary was born in sin. And she, if she could stand here today, she's our sister, the real Mary, who's in heaven. The Mary that is worshipped is an idol, is a goddess. If Mary could be here today, she would say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is my Savior. He alone was immaculately conceived. I am not the mother of God. I am the mother of His humanity. He is my God and my Savior. And we also considered His theanthropic person, that He is both divine and human. His divinity had no beginning. God does not have a beginning. You don't become God. His humanity had a beginning. He is now forever both God and man. He is not half God and half man, part God and part man. He is fully God and yet fully man. Two natures, one person. A mystery, yes, but a reality for sure. And now we consider the next miracle, and we will read it together. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men, literally magi, from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ, where the Messiah, should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and we know that is Micah, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Notice that. Not him and her. They worshipped him. And And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, literally the end of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, and is that not Hosea, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men, the first martyrs for Christ. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. When Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. When he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. We have seen His star in the east, and are come to worship Him. The Magi may have been astronomers as well as very influential men, if not kings, or they consulted astronomers, or they knew enough about astronomy to perceive a miracle in the sky, to conclude that God had sent a special star to show them the way to the one whom Daniel had prophesied to their forefathers would be the star of Jacob, the son of righteousness, the light of the world, to lead sinners out of darkness. It was not a UFO, nor a satellite, nor an hallucination. It was a close star that began to move west. How do they conclude it a miracle, and that they should follow its course? We're not given all the answers. A divine impulse? Yes. A human consensus? Yes. Not a satanic delusion or an ancient fable. Matthew is a gospel of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. The miracle star is divine history, a record of God's mighty acts. As God created the world and sent a global flood and parted the Red Sea and translated Elijah without dying, sent a large fish to swallow and eject Jonah, and invented the miracles of Christ's virgin birth, His immaculate conception, and His theanthropic person. God brought from the host of stars, or created then a star for Christ. Dim enough, or far enough not to incinerate us, and bright enough and distinguishing enough to lead these men right to the Savior. This reveals certainly that God is infinite in power. These are God's mighty acts. We're told that we're to consider His miracles, His mighty acts, that we might see that He is great and therefore greatly to be praised. And when we read another yet of God's mighty acts, we are to humble ourselves and realize that we are in the presence of one, worshiping one who is all-powerful and all-wise. It certainly tells us very clearly that Christ must be special, that God created a star just for Him. His star they saw in the east. What have you been given as gifts? God gave His Son a star. Christ is special. We ask, what is the message of this miracle star? And as I was thinking through some of the universal truths that we can extract from this particular story, I could not help but ponder a parallel truth that I think that we can combine with the same thoughts about the miracle star. You know, the Bible calls believers stars of righteousness. In Daniel chapter 12, you remember that text? As the book of Daniel is concluded, we read that at the beginning of the chapter, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There are two states beyond, heaven and hell. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Certainly compared to stars. And if indeed the Lord is referring to the elders of the churches, the ministers of the churches in Asia Minor, He says He holds the stars in His hand. And am I taking too much liberty? I hope not. I trust not. John is called a burning and shining light. Certainly, is it not referring to John being a star for the Savior? Cannot we combine the thoughts today? And my proposition is to consider the distinct features of Christ's star and let us see how they illustrate Christians in their relationship to Christ. And that how much more should we as living beings work for the Savior's glory, be employed for the Savior's honor, as that star had such a brief work to do, as it were, did its work, and the Savior was glorified. The heavens shall praise the Lord. All are made for His glory. How much more those that are made in His image, we were made for His glory. And I'd like us to think about miracle stars just for Christ. That's who believers are. That's who we are. That's who Christians are. Miracle stars just for Christ. Made for Him. Not for ourselves. Not for the world. Miracle stars just for Christ. When we think of this star and believers formed for Christ and Christ alone, it was His star. This star was formed for the Savior. It was a miracle, first of all, that God formed this star for Christ, and that apparently there must have been direct light. As a star goes, sheds its light in all directions. Yet, specifically, they must have seen a column of light right upon the Savior. Obviously, there was a miracle here. But are not we miracles in the sense that God has... Is not regeneration a miracle? We're formed for Christ. We're born like anyone else in sin. We're conceived in sin. It takes a miracle to save us. 2 Corinthians tells us, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, this is a word that points to a miracle. Behold, all things are made new. And it says, lo, the star. Behold, this is something different, something new, something miraculous. And in Ephesians, We're told that it took the power of God, the omnipotence of God, to raise Christ from the dead. So you who are dead in trespasses and sins have been made alive by that same omnipotent, miraculous power of God. We were dead, lifeless, alive to the world, but dead to God, who loved our sin, who loved the world and all that was in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, going our own way, rebels against God, in agreement with the devil. We were the devil's sons-in-law. But the Lord, in His great mercy, love wherewith He loved us, regenerated our souls. We're formed for Christ, friend. We're formed for Christ. We're His, and His alone. Speaks of ownership, doesn't it? It was His star. It's a miracle star, but it speaks of ownership. And the Lord Jesus said of us that we are those whom God has given to Him. We're Christ. He says, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." He will save His people from their sins. He owns us. We are not our own. All the selfishness that still remains in us. How we still hang on to our will. It's self-will. It's worship of will. Oh, for us to let go. Recognizing the mercies of God, we should present our bodies as living sacrifices. Break out of our self-made comfort zones and our bubbles. We will go this far and no more. We will hear Your voice thus far and no more. Away with our pride. Away with our self-sovereignty. Can a person be converted and still have such self-centeredness, such childishness, such insult of our God, that this star was made for His glory and it was dedicated to His glory from beginning to end? We are His. He owns us. He bought us with His blood. Serve Him with all your heart. Be in absolute allegiance to Christ. Whatever He says, I must do. Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. Paul recognized that immediately. Once he sensed the sovereignty of Jesus of Nazareth, he called Him Lord, and he said, "What wilt Thou have me to do? You have ownership over my life." It is utmost pride of us to demand of God. It is right for God to demand of us. We're formed for the Savior just like that star. Recognize your miraculous beginning and the fact that you are His and you're not your own, friend. Just for Christ. Just for Christ, because we've been formed for Him. Saved by the power of God. The sanctification issues from regeneration, does it not? Of course, it tells us that they saw His star in the east. That's so condescending, as it were, to think of the fact that as the sun rises in the east, so to speak, we are in union with the Savior. He saw the star in the east. Christ is the Son of Righteousness, day spring, literally the East One from on high, hath visited us. And you think of all the titles that are given to Christ. Believers are given subtitles of the same. He is the Christ, we're Christians. He is the Son of man, we are sons of God. He is the Star of Jacob, the Son of Righteousness, and we're called stars. And so it is. The Lord has given us a righteousness that is Christ's righteousness, imputed to us. That's imputed righteousness. Don't mix the two. Righteousness, justification, is imputed righteousness, not implanted righteousness. God declares us to be righteous. It's from outside us. He declares us to be as righteous as Christ. But sanctification is implanted righteousness, made righteous. And so we are in Christ, set for Him, set for His glory. This star was seen in the east, but it was set for the west. It was set for Christ. Our lives are His. We're saved and set for His glory, not our own. We have begun in the Spirit. We must continue and end in the Spirit. We're made for His glory. But notice, secondly, not only was this star formed for Christ, it led people toward Christ. It led people toward Christ. It says it went before them until it stood over the house. Is that not suggestive? We're formed for Christ, but we're made to lead others to the Savior. As a star gives light, not for itself, but to direct others to the fact that it is a creation of God. It reflects the Creator, but it sheds light for people to see. And this star led these wise men all the way, the hundreds of miles, to Christ. We have a borrowed light. I believe that believers are even compared to the moon. The light that we have is borrowed. It's real. We have the life of God in us. Of course, the moon reflects the light of the sun. So there is that dual truth. Stars, we have the life of God in us. The only light that shines in us and through us is divine light. But we reflect the Savior in our lives. The Lord said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God." Your light is for others to see God in your life, to see the divine life of God in you. They're to see Christ. They're to see spiritual fruit, not carnal pollution. John, it says of Andrew, he found Peter and he brought him to Christ. That's our job here. That's our work here. To find souls and lead them to Christ. That's versus what was read in our hearing this morning by Matt, versus wandering stars. The wandering stars, it doesn't mean that they're shooting stars. The word wandering is the word deceiving stars. Leading astray stars. In other words, these stars are giving a false light. They're leading to a false Christ. And he compares these false teachers to stars that are purported to be angels of light, but they're angels of darkness. People who say they're leading you to Christ and lead you to works righteousness, or lead you to false Christs. As Chinnicky said, Christ in a box. Don't believe someone when they say that Christ is in the secret chambers or is here or there. But Christ is in heaven and He's coming back in power and great glory. The Christ that we lead you to is the Son of God. He's the only Savior of God's elect. He is divine before He is human, but He became human. He is God and man. Mary is not the mother of God. She is not co-mediatrix with Christ. She is a sinner saved by grace. And she would be honored to hear that. She's a sister of mine in the Lord. She's a sister of yours in the Lord. She would protest. Yes, she would be a Protestant if she was on earth today, protesting against Mariolatry and popery. It hasn't changed since the days when they persecuted Chinnicky. Oh, just like the Muslims, in days where it's not a public opinion to put to death those that disagree with you. But when it's time, they put to death the so-called heretics. So they have put to death so many people in the days of the Spanish Inquisition. And when the day comes when Rome again rules in religion and in politics, they will put to death those that believe that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and men. The star did not deceive the wise men. The star led the wise men right to Christ. What is your life doing, friends? What are you doing with your life? Is your life leading people to the Messiah? Is your life shedding light on people's path? This is the way. Like Andrew found Peter and said, "We found the Messiah. Let's go. Come with me." This, our joy is fulfilled. To reflect the Savior. To preach the Savior. To be like it says in Daniel. To turn many to righteousness. Look this way. Behold the Lamb of God. Turn away from self-righteousness. Turn away from false Christs. Believe on the Lord Jesus. Isn't it sad that they lost sight of the star in Jerusalem? Where'd it go? Surely it wasn't because of all the lights in Jerusalem. They had no artificial light. Yet isn't it suggestive that in the seat of religion they lost sight of the star? What a thought that is. You know, you get involved in the compromise of false religion and your light is not seen. You get entrenched in the world, become worldly, and your light is marred. Shall we put a bushel basket over the light? Shall you get so involved in your commerce and your business and your job that your light is dim? No time for God. No time to spread the message. Your light is dimmed by business and commerce. Shall you put it under a bed? Shall your light be dimmed by sloth and idleness, vanity, vain things of this world that pass away? They had to get out of Jerusalem to see the star again. The star had to go beyond Jerusalem. We need to lead people to Christ. And I think of hearing the story of, and it still is taking place today, a lot of cities who still are in places where they keep the Sabbath, where Sundays are special days, or the Lord's Day. Many cities can only be seen on Sundays because that's the only day the factories close. The smoke of the factories is such that the cities are hidden by the smoke until Sundays come, and the smoke then blows away and the city is seen again. What an illustration. But you know, the Lord said that His day, the Lord's day, would set apart God's people from the world. And as they see God's people have a day of heaven on earth, as Moses prophesied, days of heaven on earth, an illustration, a type of the eternal Sabbath. Well, that's when God's people have all the pollution of the world, all the smoke of our mundane things are blown away, and God and the world is able to see the city again. It should be set on a hill and not hidden. We lead people to Christ as stars of righteousness, formed for the Savior, leading people to the Savior, but not content until people find the Savior. It's not enough that we lead them toward the Savior. It tells us that after they left Jerusalem, they saw the star and rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You haven't led us to the Savior yet. Your job isn't completely done. And we're told that it stood right over where the child was in the house. And that's when our joy is fulfilled, when people find Christ and say, Now I believe not because you told me, but because I have heard with my own voice, with my own ears, as the people of Samaria said. It was fixed upon Christ. It stood right over. That was high noon as far as that star was concerned. That was the time of great joy. Oh, when souls find Christ. It's not enough when they start to discover the errors of these false religions or the error of self-righteousness. We continue to plead until they close with Christ. Until they find Christ and bow down and worship Him in spirit and in truth and yield their lives unto Him, pictured by the gifts presented, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When people recognize His real person and worship Him as the King, as the priest, as the prophet. It says they found the child and the mother. Mother was secondary. Let me find Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus. Many people we have been leading toward the Lord, but they haven't found the Lord. Isn't that true? We try to roll a stone out of the way so that the seed can be sown, but may it be that God brings a day of salvation. Friend, if you know a lot about Christ and you don't know Christ, you can be damned. There are a lot of people in Hades that we would have called theologians. There are a lot of Protestants in Hades as well as a lot of Romanists. There are Presbyterians in Hades and Baptists, Methodists, and Congregationalists. But there's no true Christian in Hades. Get to Christ, friend. It's not enough that you know about Christ. Praise God that you know about Christ. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. But friend, are you regenerate? Do you have a new heart? Shown by the fact that you are now walking not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Paul said the evidence of no condemnation or the evidence of justification is sanctification. There's no condemnation or there's every justification for them that are in Christ. Unless you think that that's something that can't be known, he says, they're the ones that walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If your life hasn't changed, friend, old things are passed away. All things have become new. Behold, he prayeth, it says of Paul. His life was changed. He began to preach Christ, not against Christ. Sanctification proves regeneration. In other words, life, growth proves life. Life issues in growth. Growth shows there's life. That plant's growing because it's alive. A Christian grows because he's alive. He's in Christ. This star was fixed upon Christ. It stood right over where the child lay. May God use us to see many indeed become righteous. Justified by the Savior, sanctified by the Spirit. But you know, the amazing thing here is that the star faded. It faded, it was faded by Christ. We never hear of the star again, do we? It came, and the column of light, we suppose, was right there on that house. And by the way, this is past the time. They weren't kneeling at the barn before the trough. This was sometime later in a house. But the star was faded by him. We don't read that they went out of the house and looked for the star anymore. I suppose they did. Men are the same. I probably would have done it. Where'd it go? It's gone. It did its job. So brief. And yet so helpful. Thank God that the star was used to lead me right to Christ, the Messiah. The star was lost once Christ was found. And that's the way it should be, brother and sister. It's not about us. Here's the Savior. Let me step out of the way. They were saying to John, but John, they're being baptized in the name of Christ. They're all following Christ. And he said, this, my joy is fulfilled. Who cares about the name of John? It's the name of Jesus that matters. Until we all recognize that, who careswabout the name of Berean Free Presbyterian Church or Phil Owen or you? It's about time we step out of the way, friend. The moon, it can be that lunar eclipse where the earth can't see because the moon's in the way of the sun. It's time for the moon to get out of the way. It was faded by the Savior. Did it burn out? I think of the book of Acts. You know, it always amazes me as Philip was told by the Spirit to go and preach to the eunuch, and he runs up to the chariot, and he gets up and he preaches, and it says that all of a sudden Philip disappears. Where'd he go? And yet the eunuch isn't preoccupied with where'd he go. But the eunuch goes on his way rejoicing. Philip's content to just be a star and lead this man right to Christ. And then he's gone. Once he finds the Savior, he doesn't need me. And you don't understand what I'm saying, but that doesn't mean that believers don't need each other. It doesn't mean we don't need elders and teachers. But the point is, when people find Christ, let them dwell upon the Savior. Let them consider Him. Friend, is Christ your all in all? You have a friend that's closer to you than Christ? He's the friend that sticketh closer than the brother. Do you have a spouse that's closer to you than Christ? Friend, let me say it reverently, it's idolatry. It's idolatry to have a friend or a spouse or an individual that's closer to you than Christ. Love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Don't give it in the way of your spouse. Are you ensuring your spouse is in her or his prayer closet? Are you ensuring your children have no idols before them? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Friend, we need to be jealous for Christ's glory. You know, I was picked up by a Christian as I was hitchhiking. Never saw him again, and it bothered me for a while. But you know, that was so illustrative. He did his job for 20 minutes. He stopped and said, get in. He had one thing in mind. I want to point this man to Christ. And he did. Gave me a gospel tract. Never told me his name and no address, no church. Was he an angel? Can angels drive cars? I don't know. Gone. Went his way. Never saw him again. Will the Lord let me have the privilege of seeing this man one day in glory? Thanking him for risking his life. Left unknown. But he was leading me on the path to the Lord Jesus. You see, friend, that's the spirit of what is revealed in the mission of the star. He must increase. I must decrease. They say, and this is the law of, is it entropy? I forgot. I'm not a, that's way beyond me, but the stars are burning out. The Lord is saying, this is made for my glory, and burning and shining light was John, but the light was snuffed when the job was done. John must go. John must die. It seemed like such a tragic, short life. Surely John, after his labor and his unselfishness, could he not die an honorable death? But was it not an honorable death? A martyr for Christ? It's such a lonely thing. Such a terrible thing to see a henchman and a soldier Can't you have any honor? Bring him out into the sunlight? Would you do it in the midst of this dark dungeon? And yet, John would just be a few moments in the light of glory. He did his job. We expend our energy for Christ. We devote our life. We give of our best to the Master. He's the star of Jacob. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the Son of Righteousness. We're made for His glory. Remember what Simeon said? Now let thy servant depart in peace. I've been able to see the King. I've been able to see the Son. We know that's the way it ought to be. Whenever we see people find the Savior, put them on the road to Christ. This, let thy servant now, my job is fulfilled, as it were. This should be the greatest joy in all the world. Be able to reflect the Savior and point people on the road to the Savior. And when they find the Savior, step out of the way. Let them enjoy Christ. We get in the way too often, don't we? It was fated by Christ. And I just close with the fact that the star was forever with him, as it were. Where did the star go? Did it burn out? Did it join all the rest of the constellations? Did it take its place? And I certainly think of the fact that when you and I are burned out for the Savior, where will we go? We'll take our place with all the stars of righteousness who have turned many to the Savior. And join in our praise of God to shine forever for the Savior. Miracle stars just for Him will forever be with the Lord. Formed for Him, leading others to Him, fixed upon Him, fated by Him, and forever to be with Him. Content to serve, content to be here as slaves of the Master. How often did Paul say, Paul, a great preacher, a great missionary, a great theologian, over and over again, Paul, the slave of Jesus Christ. Stars in his right hand to do whatever he wants, to move wherever he wants to go, wherever it may be. Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, here am I, use me. I'm not my own any longer. I never was. I was a slave of sin or a slave of the devil, and now He's translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son from darkness to light. You're not your own. You're either a slave of sin or a slave of righteousness. Yield your instruments as weapons of righteousness for God. Miracle stars just for Christ. The star, the Son of Righteousness. Does that content you? That contents us. That should content us. We're His. May God use us.